You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Atamaria e te whanau e whakarongo ana koutou, ki te reo irirangi poho, you're on the 95BFM Breakfast Show, and we've got David Farrier on the line. Morena, David, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Last time we chatted to you was our last lockdown. How are you feeling about level 3?
Oh, I feel like we've come full circle. It's like we're all sort of locked inside and opened, and the conspiracy theories are back again.
They are. So last time we had a chat, you were setting up a newsletter, online newsletter called Webworm, and that's really taken on a life of its own now. And most recently, you have been looking at conspiracy theories, which is a kind of a personal interest of yours. You've definitely done a bit of your conspiracy research in the past. And this COVID conspiracy stuff is really taking off at the moment. What is it about conspiracy theories that you find particularly interesting or concerning, David?
Yeah, I find them both. I mean, it is really interesting. I mean, I've been intrigued by conspiracy theories for a long time. I mean, since that terrible Mel Gibson film Conspiracy Theory that came out when I was a kid. But what's really interesting at the moment is that they've taken off in a really mainstream way. Mm. And what I'm kind of fascinated by is how they've combined with social media to spread in a way we've never seen before. And they're actively being pushed into people's feeds. I mean, just over the weekend, we saw an example of a theory that I think all of our mums probably got, and they were in every family chat group about how this recent outbreak happened. And the fact, you know, watching Donald Trump in America get on board, you know, regularly retweeting these QAnon accounts and then seeing similar things happening here with Billy TK Jr. and the Public Party. It's all just fascinating and terrifying.
Well, let's talk about QAnon in a minute, because I think that's a really interesting and kind of alarming wormhole to get down. But I did want to talk about this piece that came out on Webworm just the other day that's sort of between you and Dylan Reeve, who people will know as your co-collaborator on Tickled, the documentary film. And Dylan sort of went deep to find the root of one of these conspiracy theories that's been circulating in New Zealand in the last couple of days. Can you tell us a little bit about this particular conspiracy theory and where it came from?
Yeah, well, the thing that I think was shared so widely over the weekend was the kind of the end result, which was this really sort of racially charged post that said the government was covering up the fact that a South Auckland woman had broken into an isolation facility. So it was really racially charged and incorrect. But, you know, Dylan and I wanted to know where this came from, and because, you know, it didn't just arrive in our timelines fully formed.
Yeah.
So he went back to this original Reddit post that was made, which was not racist, but it was full of mainly two false bits of information. And it was a list that had been posted on Reddit, and it had been up for 2 hours, and then it was deleted. And that was basically patient zero, and that was the post that was used to generate all the conspiracy stuff that we saw. And Dylan, being Dylan, tracked the guy down in a really bizarre way, and he ended up getting his phone number, and he just called him and had this really interesting conversation where this guy has basically been waiting for for 48 hours, assuming someone would eventually find him. He realized what he had done the second he posted it and saw it. Well, not the second, about 2 hours after he posted it, seeing how out of control it got. And he's been freaking out.
Fair enough. But, I mean, I guess one of the things that your article kind of touches on a little bit is why does somebody post that stuff in the first place? And how can something get, I guess, so quickly out of hand, especially in a context like a pandemic where there is a lot of anxiety going around and people are feeling a little bit vulnerable? How does this kind of misinformation take hold, David?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Dylan about this because, I mean, what it is, as humans, I think we have this inherent need to look for patterns and to put information together. It's what we love doing. And so in a pandemic where you're not getting information straight away because the government is still figuring out what the heck is going on before every press conference, you know, we hear things from friends, and if we hear two things that line up, where our brain tends to put them together. Mm. But what we have is a situation now where we can now fling that idea out to millions of people potentially within a second.
Yeah.
And then we've got an algorithm that will then spread that for us even further. And so, you know, when Dylan and I were making Tickled, we were kind of speculating when we were blogging originally, saying, hey, we think this crazy New York man is behind this crazy tickling phenomenon. We didn't know for sure, but we were putting it out into the world. We could have been wrong. But that's what people want to do. And I think part of conspiracy, what makes a conspiracy theory sort of fun for people, is that it's kind of like a game. You're looking for clues. You're looking for things going on. You're putting them together. And then you're broadcasting it to an audience and getting a response of thumbs up and smiley faces, and that's really appealing for people to do.
Do you think also that when people are feeling a little bit vulnerable or a bit anxious when something like coronavirus is happening everywhere across the world, it's kind of easy to latch onto things that feel like there's something else going on as well? Do you think that's a thing that people are drawn to a wee bit, David?
Yeah, I think it's people are looking for, you know, a pandemic is complicated and we're never going to get all the answers that we want as humans. And a conspiracy theory, it's kind of simple, it's packaged up, it tends to paint, you know, good versus evil and like a really simple plot. And it also, I think it taps into a human's need to like feel like they have some information that someone else doesn't. And conspiracy theories offer up this sort of secret knowledge that feels really good to get. You feel special for having it.
Mm.
You want to tell other people. You feel part of a club. And whereas before, you know, back around, you know, when conspiracy theories were happening around 9/11, you could, you know, potentially believe in one of them. It didn't necessarily mean you believed the moon landing was faked, but there's this tendency now where if you believe one, you believe all. And that's kind of the new scary thing.
Now, do you think the internet has been kind of a proponent of that connectivity between theories?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I mean, what we're seeing, it's sort of this horrible thing to explain if you don't know what it is, but this whole sort of QAnon movement that started in 2017, which is this idea, it's like this overarching kind of conspiracy theory that rests over all conspiracy theories now. And it's this idea that this group of global elites, unelected officials that are actually pulling the strings in the United States. And there's this mysterious figure that started on 4chan called Q, and he puts out cryptic information and people decode it. And whereas like 3 years ago, this was this really obscure thing, QAnon is now, it's pretty mainstream. Donald Trump retweets QAnon accounts all the time. And a lot of the stuff we're seeing coming through into like the public party in New Zealand, it's all stuff that's been propagated on Q Facebook pages that someone like Billy in the last lockdown spent a lot of time on Facebook. He's absorbed it all, and here we are.
So some of it seems to be pushed by politicians from overseas in the way that Donald Trump retweeting those QAnon accounts gets it to an audience that maybe didn't see it before and maybe legitimizes it in the eyes of some people who wouldn't necessarily believe a conspiracy theory off the bat, but they might believe what Donald Trump says to them. What do you think is the intersection between big propaganda machines from political parties internationally and conspiracy theories that kind of pop out of the internet? Do you think there's a bit of an intersection going on there sometimes, David?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They all play into each other. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you look to somewhere like Russia, there's no doubt that for years there's been huge disinformation campaigns propagated by governments against other countries. And what happens is that stuff, but often they won't necessarily be fresh theories, but they'll prop up something like QAnon and just push it out further. And we're all here confused in lockdown on our computers and our phones. We're reading this stuff and we're helping spread it. So, you know, it doesn't help when you've got someone who's a really good speaker like Billy TK Jr. who sounds trustworthy when you hear him speak. And I think he's playing to a certain audience. And when they're not getting the answers they want immediately from the 1 p.m. press conference, they go to his Facebook page and they're like, oh, this guy has got intel. Oh, he is ex-SAS. Maybe we should listen to this guy. It's really alarming.
We've had a good text in from a listener, David, who says, how do you differentiate between a conspiracy theory and, say, what Galileo proposed when he said that the Earth went around the sun? Back then, that would have been considered a conspiracy theory. So is that, how do you kind of combat that kind of rhetoric?
No, well, completely. And I think, you know, it comes down to this thing of like science versus magical thinking. And I think something like Galileo, I mean, he posited this new thing, and that was sort of discovered through the scientific method, which is always changing. And I think it's the same with COVID-19, right? Like, scientists that are looking into this thing, the narrative's always changing because science is always changing, and that makes people feel uneasy, which pushes them towards conspiracy theories. But on the other hand, I see what you're saying. There are conspiracy theories that turn out to be true. Watergate is a real thing. You know, I, for instance, put all my cards on the table. I believe that 9/11 was used as an excuse to go to war with another country. I don't believe bombs were planted in the buildings, but I've got different levels of like what I'm into, right? And so I think they're very different things, and that with conspiracies there's no they're being propagated out of nothing, and
right.
I think there's no scientific method there. And if you can see where the stuff's come from, which is, for instance, what I wanted to do with this thing over the weekend, look at where this thing came from. And if it's coming from a place of zero logic, it's some rumor that some dude on Reddit posted, that's your difference between, like, Galileo and a theory you see on your Facebook wall now.
So how do you have that conversation with your auntie or your neighbor or your friend from school who is sort of stuck in the web, especially if they're in the web of stuff that is maybe QAnon related, because it's harder to get to the root, maybe. How do you have that conversation?
It's really difficult, because the problem is once you start disagreeing with it, you're just part of the conspiracy theory. So that's a real issue, and it's an issue we've certainly got in the media with that. But one thing, like, never argue in comments, do it face to face, and don't argue. Try and find common ground. What I said to you just before about me personally leaning into certain aspects of the 9/11 dialogue, that's me putting my cards on the table and saying I don't just disagree with the fact that every conspiracy theory is incorrect, or I think it's incorrect. Another thing you can do is a thing that's the opposite of like straw manning someone, you steel man them. And that's this idea that you go and learn about that theory even better than they do, and then when you're having a conversation with them, you explain it back to them in even greater detail than what they know. And in doing that, you're showing them that you know what you're talking about, that you're not just dismissing them and calling them an idiot. And it also, hopefully, if you explain it in more bonkers detail than they already know themselves, they might listen and go, oh shit, like this does actually sound kind of mad.
Yeah, it's a good way of thinking about it. David, it is it's a big old wormhole, but it's awesome to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. And if people want to go and check out the piece that you and Dylan have been putting together up on Webworm, how do they find that?
Yeah, it's just webworm.co. It's not webworm.com because I couldn't afford the .com. But .co is apparently about 100 times cheaper, so it's
awesome.
webworm.co.
And less letters to remember, so it's even easier.
Exactly.
Well, keep up the good mahi. We'll talk to you again soon, David. Thanks so much for chatting to us today.
No worries. Kia kaha. See you soon.
See you soon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.